Hey, Casey.
Hey, Jacob.
I got a question for you.
What's up?
What do a single mom seeking justice for a small town community and a pregnant police officer investigating a multiple homicide have in common?
I don't know.
Well, let's find out, shall we? Because this week I watched Erin Brockovich.
And this week I watched Fargo.
And now it's time to make
the movie connection.
And here we go. Welcome in, everybody. Hi there. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where, you know, in an effort to broaden our individual movie horizons and also just to stay connected in general, we decided to connect over what we love most, movies. And so we assign each other movies to watch every week, usually that we haven't seen before. And watch them, we sit down to discuss them and review them, and then we try to figure out, you know, is there any connective tissue between these two movies? Any connection?
Anything at all.
Anything.
Any little thing.
Any little detail, any nugget of connectiveness. how many different ways can you say connection, really? So, going pretty strong. We have not missed one yet. We have not
Knock
failed.
Knock on wood.
Yep. Oh, I get,
Will
oh,
today
I got some.
Be the day?
Let's find out, Batman. All right. No, this was great. Kind of around the same time period, within 5, 6, 7 years of each other. You got Erin Brockovich over here, like multi-Oscar nominated, I think. I want to say. And then Fargo, maybe not as nominated, but definitely beloved.
It's definitely like critically acclaimed too. Fargo, like there were some award nominations or awards, not an Oscar, but something.
Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, pretty solid. Both are solid movies. I mean, we'll get into it, but no, these were
both of these exist so strongly in pop culture too that it's kind of crazy that you haven't seen Erin Brockovich and I haven't seen Fargo.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, and I love when things like that happen, you know.
Me too. It's
along.
Fun.
Yeah. Well, I think it is my turn to start.
It is. It's your turn.
Well, let's talk
I'm
about
I'm so excited.
Yeah, let's talk about Erin Brockovich. Yeah, it's crazy that I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And it's kind of crazy. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to hop into a conversation. And it's kind of crazy, too, because this is based off of, like, real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't learn about it in school or anything.
Yeah, I know. We really should.
And this seems like a prime example of something they should teach you about in school and science classes.
It'll cause you to question things. They don't want that anymore. Remember? Communist.
Right. Right.
All right.
Do you want to give us your synopsis?
In my own words, here we go. Erin Brockovich. When a single, twice-divorced mother of three seeks a job at her lawyer's office, a lot of people don't know what to make of the likes of Erin Brockovich, played by Julia Roberts. She puts her kids first, takes no nonsense, and is hardworking. But she also doesn't dress appropriately, by prudish standards, and isn't shy about speaking her mind. These qualities make her just the right person to confront a multi-billion-dollar corporation who, she discovers, has been poisoning drinking water due to their negligence, and it's costing local people their lives. With the odds stacked against her and her boss, Ed, played by Albert Finney, who is Daddy Warbucks from the first, like, Annie movie, live-action Annie
That's
movie,
awesome.
Which is funny. And adjusting to the demanding job while providing for her kids and a relationship with some biker guy, played by Aaron Eckhart, Erin Brockovich is determined to see the heartless suits go to trial and see justice is served.
Yeah.
And she pulls out her gun. No, just kidding.
No. It's not that kind of movie, man.
You know, here's the thing. You have these, like, figures of justice and so forth, and they usually have multiple movies and stuff. What comes to mind is like Mr. Tibbs. They call me Mr. Tibbs. Sidney Poitier, I believe. He had multiple movies of just this guy like doing the justice thing. I wish we would have gotten more Aaron Brockovich movies, like Julia Roberts with being this type of character. And who, like, okay, maybe Aaron Brockovich didn't, like, I mean, she's still fighting for justice and stuff these days.
She's a major activist, yeah.
So maybe she didn't do anything, well, whatever, as Hollywood, but whatever. Take the character, is what I'm saying, and just give her more stuff to do.
Right.
Like, I would have really liked to have seen, yeah, Julia Roberts in this character doing another courtroom drama, something, like, something.
Yeah. It's like this character, she was, like, so good, yeah. Right? I mean, she, like, really made this character come to life and be, like, a likable character when I think that she could have been a not likable character. Yeah,
she's a bit rough around the edges. Yeah. And especially given the time that this came out, like, it's always good to see in the context of a actor's career what they do, because they make these statements or they have these chapters in their career. And then this was Julia Roberts, you know, I love the statement that it makes. It's like, yeah, that's right. America's sweetheart. You know her. You love her. She's the whore with a heart of gold. And here she is fucking like, fuck this. Like, fuck you. Like, you know, my kids.
I know. I love it.
Look at these tits. Like, you know, yeah.
Like, I love it so much.
And that's like part of, I think that's part of what fuels it too, is like this is Julia Roberts playing this type of character.
Yes.
We see this type of character a lot more often now.
Absolutely.
And it's so funny, I was reading some behind the scenes stuff saying that like studio execs were worried that they wouldn't like her language or whatever. And then you fast forward to now, Bridesmaids. Like,
Right. It's crazy what 20 years can do, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in a time period. And I don't usually think of like the 90s as being kind of like a restrictive time for women, but it definitely still was compared to now.
Yeah. Because you know? They still had that. Yeah. They were still lording over that stupid, yeah, regressive thought process. I love her boss is a little slightly sexist, but only because like age, like, wise, like,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, they don't make him do anything too despicable, yeah. For the most part. He's like a very likable character.
Right.
And he's like kind of willing to learn.
Yes, yes.
You know? He's kind of sexist sometimes, but she puts him in his place and he usually listens.
Exactly. Like it reminds me of, like, I never watched it, but was it Mary Tyler Moore? Like, it was, she had that kind of relationship with her boss. He was very, yeah, very sexist pretty much. Ed Asner, I think. But Mary Tyler Moore was no Aaron Brockovich. Like, I don't think she took that approach, but she definitely stood her ground in her own way.
Sure, sure.
But man, like, Julia Roberts doing this, like, yeah, it has that effect. And, it was really good. It was, really good to see.
I agree. I'm glad that I got to assign it to you. I was happy that you hadn't seen it yet.
Totes my goats.
Totes my goats. You ready for some Q&A?
I think so. Like, I think that's... Yeah.
We can keep having conversations around the questions, too.
Yeah.
My first one is just right out the gate. Do you think that Erin is a good mom?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. And, like, you know, she... Yeah, no, I think across the board, because it's always in service of giving her kids a better life. Like, you know, I think it's always all of her decisions are with that goal in mind or whatever.
Right.
Everything seems to be really selfish. Like, yeah.
No, because every time she was working too, like, you know, it was like you said, to better her kids' future and also to like help the community as well, which I think is really nice.
Totally.
You know, the guy that the biker boyfriend ends up breaking up with her.
Biker boyfriend, what a little, like, not a good guy.
Yeah, and you know? He sort of insinuates like you're not here, you're not a good mom or partner or whatever. He doesn't say it in that many words, but that's why he's leaving.
Right. Well, he was being a little baby. Like, you know, it's just like, he was straight up like saying, just like, what about my needs and this and that? It's just like, okay, like, you know, whatever. Yeah, but like, also like my kids and everything. He pissed me off a little bit because he gave her the ultimatum ultimately.
Right.
And I hate that.
I guess it is what happened in real life, though, too.
That fits. Like, you know, and he did turn out to be a pretty bad guy.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, no, because he ended up, like, suing for one reason or another. Like,
oh, my God. What a douche.
It just kind of fit that character. It's like, oh, of course he did.
Yep, that makes sense.
I didn't particularly like him. I liked Aaron Eckhart playing him, though.
Yeah, he was fun. I mean, and the character was, like, complicated, right? Because he was so good with the kids, which was nice.
Yes,
like,
yes,
she didn't
that
have
was
to worry
cool.
about her kids.
That was fun to see. And those moments felt very improvisational, too. I liked that.
Totally. Yeah. I agree. It felt like you were actually, like, watching somebody hang out with kids, which is nice.
This is the kind of that director. He likes that approach. He tries to get that out of his actors, I think. Like, this is the same director who does Ocean's 11. Yeah, he just did Kimmy, which I recommend. You know, I might even put it on this list, maybe.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And he's all over the place, because then he did that movie back in the 90s, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, which is vastly different from both of those movies, and then he does this, and then he does No Sudden Move or whatever. So he just, like...
He's somebody that doesn't want to be nailed down to, like, one type of movie.
Yeah. And he's known for, like, being able to get them done fucking quick. Like, I think he did four movies, like, last year or something like that.
Whoa.
He likes to knock them out. Oh, and Magic Mike. He's behind Magic Mike.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Love this guy.
Yeah. Good guy.
Blessing to all people.
Mm-hmm. pretty awesome. Interesting fellow. Like, I'm still trying to pin down, like, how I feel about him as a director. And he's one of those, he makes good stuff and not so good stuff. Like, you know.
Sure.
Not everything he makes blows my hair back. Nor do, like, his stuff's there. Like, it. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Like,
it exists,
and
yeah.
And sometimes that's good enough. Like, you know.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. So how do you think they used Aaron's clothes/sense of fashion to tell their story? Like, what do you think they were trying to say here about, like, women dressing a certain way, I guess?
Well, it just feels like authentic to the character more than anything, I feel. I feel like it was to the benefit of the audience, because I feel like it put Julia Roberts in this character more. And I feel like this character dressed like that, like she said, I think she's quoted as saying, it's like, you know, while my boobs didn't necessarily get things done like they do in the movies, I'm sure they played a part, because, like, yeah, at the end of the day, we're in America, and boys be gross like that sometimes, you know. But further than that, like, it was authentic for the time. I'm not sure if it was trying to be in the 90s or the 80s. It felt, either way, it felt authentic time period-wise. And it's, you know, that empowering side where it's like, she's not even showing as much cleavage as most, like, what we do nowadays. And just, no, it's more, it's power cleavage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually use this movie, like, in business school. And talk about, like, the effects of, like, dressing for success versus not and things like that. Kind of interesting.
Yeah. I'm in the boat of, like, dress how you feel comfortable. Like, and I know that's controversial. We love to have the dividing line. It's like, no, you need to dress, like, I understand, like, a business, an office has a dress code. It's like, that's
dress
stupid.
Code. Mm-hmm.
Like, no. What's a business need a dress code for? Like...
Right.
Like, well, we need to uphold a certain image. Who gives a fuck? Like, it's an illusion anyway then, right? Like, what? What are we doing here? Like, if we know it's bullshit, like, I think we're at that point these days where it's, and especially post-COVID where it's just like, no, I'm working from home.
Yes.
And that's that. Like, you don't need me fucking there. Like,
I wear jammies to work now.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that something fun that the character of Aaron proves is like, yeah, I can dress like this and I still kick ass in the business world. I can say things really crassly, but that's how people actually speak. Yeah, we don't exactly talk in professionalism all the time.
And it's never just for the sake of it. It's always like to make a point or like, you know, like, yeah.
I think she even makes her boss kind of let loose a little bit. Like at one point he tells her, you know, fuck you or whatever. And it was so
fuck
great.
Like
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That moment is so great. I love it.
And then
it.
They laugh. Yeah, it is a good moment. I really hate you sometimes. Nah, you love me.
That's right.
It's hands down Julia Roberts' best performance, right? Like, no question. Like,
wow, that's a bold
like
statement.
I feel like most people, so you're gonna have this up against really, I mean, I get it, like up against Pretty Woman, right? Like people
Pretty
love that
Woman
fucking
is excellent.
Movie. It is a great performance. I don't know, man, but Erin Brockovich, like, she's doing the work here.
She's definitely doing the work. And the statement, it helps, too, that it's a statement that we can all fucking rally behind, right?
It's the Rocky statement. Like, I think that was an inspiration. Rocky and All the President's Men, which was a political courtroom or political drama.
Yeah, I don't know if I can say this is her best performance, but
what?
I do
What's
love her
What's best performance
in this.
For you? Tinkerbell? Don't do this, Casey. No.
I love Hook, just so we're clear, and
here.
I do love her as Tinkerbell.
It sucks the behind-the-scenes stories about it, though, but whatever, I don't care. Like, I'm paying attention to the product, and the product is good, right? Because they call her Tinkerhell, I guess.
One of my favorite rom-coms of all time is My Best Friend's Wedding.
Aha! Oh!
So I do hold her, like, up really high in that movie.
Yeah.
But also, Eat, Pray, Love is like
Wait,
the first
she's in
movie.
That?
Yeah, oh. She stars in it. Oh. It's like literally about her traveling and finding herself. Oh,
is
so
she
beautiful.
A foodie?
Okay, guess who's going to watch Eat, Pray, Love? Yeah, I don't know. This is obviously
Oh, and Mona Lisa Smile, right?
Mona Lisa Smile's so good, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, never seen that. That's
Kirsten
Dunst and Julia Roberts, for fuck's sake. That's, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. You're hurting me. But it's okay. I'm getting some more
because
ammo.
This did send me down the rabbit hole. It's like, you know what? Maybe I need to watch more Julia Roberts stuff because she's kind of fading. You know, no, like, it's not a bad thing. She has faded in these.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
She's much, she's way less involved in things now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
and I think, and not by, I think it's. By choice, like, you know.
Oh, 100%.
She's got the power to, like, yeah, if she wanted to, she could be doing, she could have a fucking show right now. Hello. Like.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I've got some new fun movies to find you later.
Because there's, like, it made me think of, like, Runaway Bride.
I love Runaway Bride, too, but I think My Best Friend's Wedding's better.
Really? Okay, yeah, yeah. Did she do another one with Richard Gere? I feel like they were a great duo. Killing it.
Oh, Runaway Bride was with Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But My Best Friend's Wedding's still better. Which that has that one guy. What is his name?
What is his name? Schmidt's
Dermot
dad.
Mulroney.
Love him.
So good.
He's great. And then the guy who plays the voice of the prince in Shrek 2 as her best friend, or her other friend.
Yes, I love that guy so much.
I love the bit at the
and
end where
Cameron
he's like...
Cameron Diaz is in that one, and she's like
so
sweet
so
and young.
Good. Yes.
Like, ugh.
Such a different role for her.
It is. I feel like I've never
Isn't
seen her
it
play
controversial
that role
now,
again.
Though? It'll be a fun to revisit, because I think now the opinion is that her character actually sucks. Like
Julia Roberts' character?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've actually felt that the whole time.
Okay.
My whole life.
Got
but
it.
I still, like... want her to win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make totally.
Not the best friend, but like I want her to like succeed in life. Yeah. And I think this is a hurdle she has to go through.
Right.
Even if it's, you know, makes her not the best person.
Yeah, right.
Even if she's trying to break up someone's happiness. Like
for real. You know. I love the it's got a lot of iconic moments. And it's like I love at the end where the guy is like saying what she's doing and she's like, What the fuck? Very authentic. It's like, yeah, there you are, just tapping your fingernails on the table.
And I love when they sing
Yes.
Anytime I hear that song, I can't help like but think
see
of that movie.
See those two freaking ladies in the stupid hats.
So fun.
Yeah, so good.
That's a fun ass movie. Yeah. But back to this movie.
Yes, yes, I know. Eric Brockovich.
Who is also awesome, but definitely a different role than those other ones. Like, she's a take no shit kind of lady.
I don't know if she ever played this role again, even. Like,
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very unique character. So Erin faces a lot of issues with like trying to balance her life, right?
Yeah.
Her kids, her work, like because she's working so much, the kids and her boyfriend kind of make it seem like she's not being a good mom.
Right.
Do you think that men in the workforce would face these same issues?
Oh, interesting. Probably not, because it's expected, right? Men were supposed to be absentee fathers. It was cool, right?
Right, especially this time period. I think an interesting movie that could be made is about a single dad who's going through this kind of situation where he has to balance everything.
Because that's not something kind of like that that just got released starring Kevin James, actually. It was his his serious role, right? Like we were just talking about, you know, chapters in people's careers. This is his step into the serious side. Kevin James, right? From Jumanji? Jumanji movies and... Or am I... Uh-oh, I might be messing him up.
You talking about Jack
Kevin
Black? Kevin Hart.
Okay, there we go. So, oops. Kevin Hart. Yeah, okay. Way off, yeah. Kevin James is... That guy
from like from like a family show. I don't know what it was called.
Yeah,
but
King
it
of
was
Queens
like a family
and
show.
And he's from the Adam Sandler side of things. No, Kevin Hart.
I was so confused, but I was like, it would make sense for him to take a serious role.
Yes, true. No,
Fatherhood. So that
there
movie came out in 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that one, I think, is a little different because, like, his wife died.
Ah, okay. Yeah, true. Different circumstances,
But still, like, it looks like a good movie. I haven't brought myself to watch it because even watching the trailer makes me cry a little bit. So I'm like, it's going to be, like, a real emotional movie.
For real, it is, yeah.
But, you know.
But no, you're right. Like, yeah, more of that. And more, like, showing the stay-at-home dad type situation. We're still, like, isn't it crazy how uphill of a battle it is? Like, we're still, the mainstream movies, we're getting better about it in TV. I will say that. TV is showing the more progressive, like, more modern stuff.
Totally. Like, TV's awesome in that way because you see, like, women working, dad staying at home. Like, you see all the different kinds of dynamics.
There, yeah.
Which is really nice.
We've been seeing, kids with, you know, on the spectrum. Like, they have shows now. And, like, all this stuff going on.
I think that, like, at this time in life, that, like, men would face those same issues, like, if they were in that situation. But I think in the 90s still... We were just so behind the times that it would have been expected for the dad to get a live-in nanny or have his mom, and then it wouldn't have been, like, guilt-ridden, you know?
Right.
Like, it was for Erin. Like, you could tell that she was really struggling with it.
Sure. I like that she pushes through, though, because, like, in the end, like, kids are bastards anyway, so, like, you kind of just have to... It's like, you know what? You're gonna resent me eventually, like, anyway.
I
guess we can get it out of the way now. Like,
I like love that moment so much with her son when he's looking through her filings.
True. Yes.
And finds the one of the little girl that's his age, and then he realizes, like, oh my gosh, my mom is doing something that's so much bigger than me.
Yeah. Finally,
and
like,
then
it's
offers,
kind of a,
you know, like that was lovely
example. Yeah,
like, I love that so much, and also I feel like that's the moment where you're like, no, she's such a good mom for her kid to be able to like, see that.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure,
she's raising like a critical thinker.
Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah, those kids were good actors too.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So does this movie make you examine things we the people can do to make a difference? it's pretty awful to think about, like, the corporations knowing these issues and not doing anything.
Yeah, right.
And I really feel like they show this person who came in, like, just looking for a paycheck and finding so much more.
Yeah, it was great.
You know?
Yeah. And just through curiosity and just a willingness to do it. So that's the key. That's the missing ingredient in today's society, if you will. It's the willingness to do it. We're only now starting to arm ourselves with the knowledge and the means to do something. So it's going to be a little slow going before we see actual actions being made, perhaps. But I think we're on the right track, finally. Like, you can hate on the internet all you want, but it's actually, it's benefiting in a lot of ways, as well as hurting us, hindering us.
Yeah, it's hard because it's a double cross sword or double-edged sword there.
Sure.
Because the internet definitely helps us see things that we would otherwise be completely blind to, potentially.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Erin Brockovich story is really, she had to, like, dig through paper.
Yeah.
Now you could probably find, like, a Reddit page and have all the information.
That's the other thing,
you know?
That would be another avenue available to you, is like, Oh, you guys are going to drag your feet on this? Oh, well, shit, I just posted something. So, you know, it's like, you better get on that. It's like, yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting. It does. It also depresses you a little bit just because so few people do take the time to do anything about it, because people don't want to be inconvenienced in that way also, even if it benefits them. They're just like, but that's, it's a lot of work.
Right.
It's like, yeah, but, you know, people are dying. People are dying and stuff. So it's like, yeah, like, I loved that scene with where he was explaining it to these local people, where it's just like, you'll get anywhere between this much and this much. And they're like, which is it? It's just like, look, I get it. But like, yo, you know what? No, we want to go to core. Like, we don't care if we have to wait 10 years. It's like, oh, really? Well, I don't think this guy's got 10 years, or this person, or this person. It's like, so yeah. You really want to wait? Like, you know. Yeah, a lot of people. This did a really good job at showing that. Yeah, it's unfortunate more people don't do this stuff. This reminded me a lot of a movie that is on my list, so I don't want to talk about it too much. But it took a real story from more recently, and similar situation where it's just like, wow, this corporation is covering up this dangerous stuff going on, like,
yeah,
to benefit them, and ultimately they think what they're doing is a good thing, you know, because capitalism strikes again, man.
Yeah, and this just made me too, like, want to examine the stuff that I'm putting in my body so much. Like, rewatching this made me think, ugh, there's probably so much stuff I don't know that's in, like, the foods that I'm eating.
Yeah.
Which obviously is not a rabbit hole I want to go down now, but it even makes you sort of examine things a little closer to home too, you know?
Totes
my goats. All right, it's time for our favorite questions.
Favorites!
Nice. What was your favorite scene?
Favorite scene? So many good ones. But, I mean, it's got to be when Erin's giving somebody the business, calling them on their shit. So I really like the one where she lays into the PG&E reps, like, the first time they come to the table. And, I think she's like, let's be clear. Like, $20 million is more than any of your clients has seen before or could ever dream of. And she's like, okay, you know what? That pisses me off. Listen here. Like, you know, puts her in her place.
So good.
Yeah.
And isn't that the same scene where she's just
Yeah, we got that water special for you. It's from... Yeah, that was a good moment.
That is so golden. Like, yeah. And the looks on their faces, like... were so horrified because they knew that it was toxic ass water.
yeah that was really good. I like, see, like, that's what I mean, like, I like, give her another situation, give her another injustice, and let her spew some, like, yeah, acerbic, like, come on. I would love to see, and don't call it Erin Brockovich 2, you would call it something cool. Like, you know,
yeah,
and just make it an Erin Brockovich story, or I don't know, I want to see Julia Roberts do this character.
Oh, again. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah.
Awesome. What was your favorite performance?
I mean, you know.
Is there a question?
Julia Roberts. She earned that. She won the Oscar, right? And yeah, totally earned it. I hope she got all so the nominations. Amazing. Yeah, she nailed it. And honorable mention, though, does go to Aaron Eckhart. Like, I was so, like, dumb. I saw his name in the credits. I was like, oh, cool. And then the fact that he was the fucking biker guy. Like, what? Talk about a far cry from the Aaron Eckhart I'm familiar with. I mean, this is Two-Face from The Dark Knight. Come on. Very, very jarring. God. But he did such a good job. Like, you could tell, like, he was, again, doing the work. Like, he was doing it right. Even if it's strange for me, it's like, you're not a fucking biker. What the fuck is this?
It is super weird, yeah.
He looks a lot
different, too, with that kind of hair.
Yes, and, like, he's more likable, but sometimes he's got the Bradley Cooper factor, where it's like, yeah. I like to hate him a little more than I like. It goes down a little easier if I'm supposed to not like his character than if I have to like him. But I did like him a little bit more until he turned into a douche. But, you know, yeah.
Yeah. In the end, he did come through, though, and he, like, came and stayed at the hotel with her and watched the kids for her while she did the, like, really intensive part of the job, which was, like, getting all of the testimonies.
Yes.
So at least he did get some redemption there, yeah. I think.
A little bit.
Because, you know, he didn't have to do that.
A little
that,
bit.
But...
And then she apologized to him, though. She didn't need to do that.
I know. I'm like, girl, don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just fucking don't, man.
You don't need to.
Awesome. Favorite quote?
It's in response to when she's like, listen, I think we got off on the wrong foot here. It's like, yeah, that's all you got, lady. Two wrong feet and fucking ugly shoes.
Yes. Oh my Ooh, God. So
I was
good.
Like, damn. Yeah. That was good shit.
Every time I watch that part too, I'm always a little bit nervous because like,
know what's coming.
You know, well, and you're like, these people are like sort of giving them a paycheck now. It's like, oh my God. But the corporate part of me is just like, I've always wanted to be able to do that. And it's so like nice to watch someone else do it.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah. More. More.
More. Awesome. So, would you rewatch and recommend?
Yeah, totally. Like, it sucks that I've been deprived. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about a little more. Because I
yeah,
do.
Let's do
so,
it.
This came out. Wait, this came out in 2000? That actually is surprising to me.
Came
out in 2000, the year after The Matrix came out. I have to get back on track with that. I had it right the first couple of times. It was 99, but no, then I've been slipping. I've been, because Matrix so is like a 2000. It kicks off 2000 is why. It's like it really is the transition movie from 99 to 2000. Like, you know.
Totally.
Anyway.
The millennium.
Yes, the millennium. The
millennium.
I do vaguely remember, like, this is a Universal movie. Like, they don't really make movies like this anymore. It was completely riding on the star power of Julia Roberts, for sure. And all this stuff, because Steven Soderbergh, who, like, you know, all this stuff. And I vaguely remember, like, the marketing around it, though, and, like, the TV spots and all that. All of it was around, like, this tells you about the sexism that was still alive and well. It was all around her boobs. Like, all they wanted to talk about was her boobs. Is that all you, Julia? Is, like, this and that. And the fact that, yeah, she's being, like, by today's standards, like, this woman isn't a controversial figure. Like, you know, like, she...
No, she's a badass.
Maybe a little bit, but she's just, like, yeah, she's a badass. But back then, it was like I said, the studio execs were even like, they're not going to like, you know, her talking this way. It's like, give me a break.
Yeah.
But I do remember that. It was all about her boobs and stuff. Like, you would think that she had a nude scene or something in this. And it's like, I watch it and it's just like, yeah, it's no
So baby. She's got a couple low-cut tops on. Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't get naked.
Right. And she only has the one scene where it's blatantly used to get, like, the files or whatever. Otherwise, like, she's not using it to, yeah, sleep away to the top or anything like that.
Yeah, I like the comments that she made back to her boss when he was trying to push back on her for the dress code, you know, and she was just like, do I tell you what color of tie to wear?
Yeah, right. Yes, totally.
Totally. Like,
double standards, man. Call it out. Yeah.
Even today, though, I hate to say it, like in my office where I worked, people would make comments about other people if they didn't think they dressed appropriately.
Yeah, it's stupid. We gotta, like, I think fortunately we are being more vocal, and also the internet helps. Like, mm-hmm. we can expose people. We got TikTok now. It's like, guys, you won't believe the kind of customer I just dealt with. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Yeah, I don't remember. I'm sure Mom watched this, but, like, no, I don't remember I don't think it so. Being it's not, one of...
No, she doesn't like, you know, Mom doesn't like strong female characters.
I think she would like this now, but I don't know if she would have back then.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I don't think so.
But I think she would probably like it now.
Yeah, probably. Worth a watch.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, and what would you rate it out of 5 stars?
Give it a solid 4 stars, like 4 strong stars.
Excellent.
Because, yeah, like, it's a lot to get 5 stars, but 4, you know, it's a solid movie. Like, some stuff just hasn't aged well, and, you know, but other than that, like, it's best Julia Roberts performance.
Awesome. That's a pretty high compliment.
Yeah.
I love it.
Said it, I'm sticking to it. Who is the modern day Julia Roberts?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know
is
if we...
Is there one?
I don't know if we have that anymore. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Because you want to say Sandra Bullock, but even, like, you know...
Sandy Bullock backed off a little bit, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I just don't know. Although I am excited for Lost City of D.
Lost City of D...
Sandra with Bullock? Channing Tatum.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, yeah.
Sandra Bullock.
That'll be good.
Daniel Radcliffe?
Really? Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure I saw his name pop up.
Yep, that makes sense. What a weirdo. Ever since Swiss Army Man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enough of Aaron Brockovich. Like, we talked that to death. That was good. Good movie.
Good-ass movie.
Let's talk about Fargo. Such a classic. Oh, man. I don't, like, don't even get me started. This is one of my favorite movies, so.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So, Casey, tell me, like, I can't believe this is your introduction to Fargo, although you probably heard references, seen references probably throughout your life.
Probably, and I definitely have heard about the TV show.
Ah, yeah. Right. Oh, you betcha. Yep.
No. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but so, I'm glad I haven't seen it because it'd be fun to watch it now.
Exactly. I hear it's pretty solid, like, you know, and it's one of those shows that changes season to season. So
I like that.
Mixes it up every season, which is nice.
I mean, I like that a lot.
Chris Rock has a season all of his own, so that's interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, so Fargo the movie. Tell me.
Fargo the movie.
In your own words, tell me about Fargo.
Jerry is a car salesman who's gotten himself into some trouble and debt.
Yeah.
He is so desperate for money that he develops a scheme to get some ransom money from his father-in-law as he hires 2 thugs to kidnap his wife.
Crazy.
Kind of an insane idea, right?
Yeah.
The plan starts to fall apart when one of the henchmen shoots a state trooper.
Yeah.
Once the bloodshed starts, they pull in the very pregnant and very awesome Sheriff Marge from Brainerd, Minnesota, to solve this mind-boggling case.
Right. Mind-boggling.
I didn't know how else to word it.
Yeah. So this is Coen Brothers. So once again, like, love these guys. Like, their movies defy definition. Like, you know, they exist in a realm all of their own.
And yeah, I would agree with that.
It's like, this is the primo example of that. This is kind of the linchpin of those worlds. Like, this is, like, in top 2 of my... It's, like, neck and neck with one other movie. No Country for Old Men, which I fucking love. Great movie. But also so dark, and that's the thing. Like, it's hard for me to get, like, just say, yeah, that's my favorite Coen Brothers movie, even though it's one of their best by far. But yeah. Fargo is just so pleasant as well as, like, dark. Like, because it has its dark moments, but...
Right.
But it also pleasantness. No Country for Old Men, you don't get that.
Nah, it's pretty dark.
Pretty dark. Have you seen that one?
I have.
Okay, cool.
I just looked it up. I was like, have I seen this? Yeah. Yes, I
Tommy
have.
Tommy Lee Jones, like, really great performances. But yeah, really, really great, dark. But really dark. But Fargo, man, like, it's hard. Like, it's really neck and neck. Sometimes I'm like, no, it's Fargo. It's like, no, it's No Country. It's got to be No Country. Like, those are easy to pinpoint, you know? And at this point, you've seen three Coen Brothers movie that I know of, that I have personally assigned you.
Right.
So you have Raising Arizona.
Yes.
Early Coen Brothers. Very outrageous. You have...
So outrageous.
Big Lebowski. Pretty outrageous, but maybe less outrageous than Raising Arizona?
Maybe? Yes.
In some ways?
I think.
And then you have this one. Still out there.
Yes.
But very more grounded. Crazy, it feels so wholesome and homey to me.
You know? It's because it's in Minnesota, man. Everybody's so nice there, and this movie just confirms it.
It confirmed, like, the characters, but also just the settings. Like, that food, like, looked kind of disgusting, but I also wanted it at that buffet type restaurant, you know?
Yes.
Like, I love these settings that they use too.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So yeah, just defy logic. So that's kind of my initial question. So where does this rank? I almost want to see what other Coen Brothers movies you've seen, because you've seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yes, that's good, a great movie. One, too.
Really good movie. Yeah, also, really still out movie. There, but not as still not as out there as some of the other
Raising
ones.
Raising Arizona.
Burn After Reading, a great movie. Weird, but good. Shoot. Let's see, what else?
Yeah, I'm, like, trying to look on Google.
Intolerable Cruelty, I've never seen, but there's that one. Can bring up my list because I'm trying to rank them as well.
Oh, that sounds fun. Did they make a movie about that guy?
Which one?
The Jesus Rolls?
The one that looks bowling ball? He made that movie.
Okay.
No, they knew better.
Oh no.
Raising Arizona, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, really good. Inside Llewyn Davis. Hail Caesar. Hudsucker Proxy. So you've only seen,
I've seen a small amount of these.
Small amount. And then where would this rank, like, doesn't give anything away, really. Where does this rank for you now that we're getting into Coen Brothers?
Sure. I would say this goes pretty high up there for sure.
Yeah.
Probably neck and neck with Big Lebowski, just from the sheer absurdity of Big Lebowski is so fun.
Yeah, definitely.
But this one is more grounded, like you said.
Yeah.
I do love the cop in this one. She's very cool.
It's a strong female lead.
Really interesting.
Like, even though, like, you don't get her until, like, 30 plus minutes into the movie before she shows up. I forgot. I couldn't believe it. Like.
Yeah, for sure.
But once she shows up, man, she... It's her movie, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. They had to establish some other shit first, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to. And it was a fun... I love the fun, like, initial, like... Yeah, it's the setup. Like, it's setting up the case and all that.
Yes, totally.
So you rank it pretty high. It's awesome. Who is the real bad guy in this movie? Like, we have a bunch of really interesting characters going on here. Upon more and more watching, like, an antagonist becomes clearer to me, you know? At least who I feel in the scheme of things is the bad guy. I mean, you have three basic candidates because you have our two thugs.
We have our two thugs. Which one of them is, oh my God, what's his name?
Steve.
Buscemi.
Amazing.
And the other one.
One of his best performances.
He was so good.
So good.
the other one, the other thug, I'm so sorry, I don't remember.
Look him up. So I don't know the actor by name, but man, I know him by look because he played, in my opinion, he plays the best Lucifer, on camera Lucifer I've ever seen. Like, he plays the devil, and oh man, he nails it. And it was in Constantine with Keanu Reeves.
Peter Stormare.
There we go. Really, what the hell? Great performance, but unsettling.
Yeah, so he is definitely a very bad guy.
Yeah.
They always have
this guy represents evil, you know?
Yeah, he's just, like, impulsive and, like, shoots that cop when he could have probably still gotten out of the situation without murdering him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, literally chases those two people that drove past and shoots them.
It's such a good moment when the lights disappear and you're like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then even he's like, what? And then you realize, oh, it went off the road. Okay.
Then at the end, like, you know, spoilers ahead, but you know what? If you guys haven't seen it, like,
come on.
You know what this podcast is, okay?
Yeah, let's go.
At the end, when he's like literally, he kills his partner and then puts him through a wood chipper.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
That makes him pretty evil.
Pretty evil.
But I do think that the husband, Jerry, is like the bad guy.
Yeah.
He'd say it. Right? But Jerry is.
It's so funny that even amidst the, clearly evil character. Yeah, no, Mr. Jerry Lundegaard, they do so good. Like, the movie always
fools me. This guy's a great actor.
Yes. And, it's William H. Macy's best performance.
William H. Macy. Yeah. He's so good. And he's a very captivating character. And I was like, sweating for him, like I was nervous for him too, you know.
Do you feel any sympathy for him? Like, sometimes the movie fools me into almost sympathizing with him, but then I realize it's like he's a bastard, like
he's slimy.
Yeah.
He's totally, which fits because they made him a car salesman, and I think that most, sorry if you're a car salesman out there, but I think you're slimy probably.
Yeah, right.
Everybody needs to make money, but he like is embezzling money from his father-in-law because his father-in-law backed the car lot that he has, and he's trying to trick him into giving him more money to get out of this. So like all of that is gross, and like he's lying to everyone about it, so that makes him gross already. And then he hires these two people who he doesn't even personally know.
Exactly, like who know, like well, she does meet a terrible fate, like, but that's what you get, man. Like, you associate with the like people you have no idea about, like,
and like their poor kid is like literally left with no one at the end of this, right? His mom's gone, his dad's in jail, his grandpa's dead. Like, literally, this kid has no one now.
Yeah,
which
and
I
he
feel
even, like,
so terrible for him.
They have a moment where even, Lundegaard, like, it's like, oh, yeah, Scotty, shit. It's like, really? You haven't been thinking about your kid this whole time? Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So messed up, man.
Yeah.
So he's definitely the true villain of the story.
So
because
interesting, yeah.
Even out of, like, carelessness. Can make you pretty evil if you're choosing to be pretty careless. He's not a good guy.
Not a good fella. We have a lot of stand-up performances, but I do want to talk about Steve Buscemi's character because, I do feel like this is like one of the career best. Like, I probably still like Mr. Pink and Reservoir Dogs a little more, but this is a great performance. Like, what a character.
He's such a fun bad guy in this. Like, I mean, he's like,
I really like him. Like, a likable bad guy. In
totally
some weird way.
Totally. And pretty funny. And like when he gets shot in the face and then you should have seen Dr. Guy. I was laughing so hard.
So brutal. Like, he does stupid shit like that. Like, it's like,
whatever,
man. You see how you like it, tough guy. It's total silence. No words. Me not speaking.
Yeah.
Like,
he plays a really interesting character, though. Like, I think he does a great job in this movie for sure.
Yeah. I love when, and he has his evil moment. Like, you want to say again, like the blonde guy is more evil, but man, when they bring the hostage to the house and like, she's got the bag over her head and she's slipping all over the place, and he's just like holds the guy back. He's like, no, let's watch this. This is pretty funny. It's so fucked up. Like, even though I am laughing right along with him.
Me too. I'm a terrible person, but I also thought it was funny.
Because I was laughing at his laughing because he's like, whoops. And his look of just like, what is she doing? Like, he's got a point. It's like, where are you going to go, lady?
Where are you going, lady? Yeah. Where are you going?
Where are you
going
to go? Like, yeah. And she even realized, it's sad. It, like, yeah, it takes a turn for the fuck up. But, like, awesome. Is Fargo a place you'd like to, you know, visit, minus the multiple homicides and everything?
Maybe.
A lot of snow, though. Like,
homicides.
Like, you would have to adapt to, man, we think we have to deal with snow, you know? Like.
Oh, yeah, nothing compared to them, for sure.
Like, yeah.
I think Minnesota is just, like, one of those weird places that I would just like to visit.
But not just live.
Like, yeah, I don't want to live there. But it just, every single thing that I, and I could be totally different in real life, but everything I see depicted about these Minnesota people, they just seem so likable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, you're all so friendly.
Right.
And I love the way they talk. I actually love the Minnesota accent a lot.
Betcha.
It just makes, because it's very similar to a Canadian accent,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is. Because they're right there. Like, yeah.
Right there. And so, I don't know. I feel like I would like Minnesota.
Yeah.
I would not like the weather and stuff, but I think that I would, like, enjoy the people.
It's also, I love their sense of humor because it's more sassy and, like, because
yeah,
they,
totally.
They do try to think outside of, like, just the blatant acerbic stuff. Like, it tends to be a little more clever and still, like, yeah, still gets you.
Totally. Yes.
So, through the feminist lens, you know, what are you thinking of Margie here? Like, what does she offer to the movement? Like,
she's awesome. She's really, really cool. First of all, to see, like, a lady cop is awesome.
True.
And she's pregnant.
And
she's still,
pregnant.
Like, working through these homicides, which is a really intense thing.
Yeah.
And she's just, like, a lady in a position of power as well, because she's a sheriff. So
yes,
she, like,
right.
is a boss, and that's very cool. And this came out in the 90s, so that's kind of a big deal to have, like, she's a really strong female character, in my
yeah.
opinion.
That's what I'm saying. Even though, like, yeah, it's so
she
weird that
she has to balance her family and her real life, too, just like Erin Brockovich does.
Yeah. And she's got one coming, too, is the thing. Like, she's got another
right.
one coming on the way. Love her relationship with her husband, Norm.
Her and Norm
think,
are just, like, the most wholesome, sweetest, like, I just love them. I'm like,
her
yeah.
Her and Norm are goals, you know?
They are, and that's one thing I actually, like, love about this movie, too, and the way they paint Marge, is, like, she does her job, she brings justice, you know, she, like, figures out the crimes and stuff, and then she, like, goes home, and she's with her sweet, loving husband, and they
yeah.
talk about stamps.
Stamps.
And she's pregnant, and they're about to have a baby, and I'm like, you know, she won.
Yeah.
In this movie,
yeah.
like, she's the winner of this movie, like, which
For
is
sure.
so nice.
Yeah, I love that, like, and yeah, the stamps, like, that is so sweet, what she says,
Ugh.
Like, no, people need the two-cent stamps, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, for, you know, like, when they...
Raise the cost of postage.
Yeah,
postage
stuff
or
like
whatever.
That. It's like, there you go, man. Like, putting a positive spin on it no matter what. And supporting your husband, like, you know. And not bullshitting
so
him.
Sweet.
You know, just...
And he's so supportive of her, too. Like, when she gets called in, he's like, I'm going to make you eggs. You
yeah.
need to eat breakfast. Like, I was just like, that's so nice.
Yeah, one of my favorite scenes. Yeah, because I love that shot because it shows him on the one side and her getting in the car on the other, and she comes back. It's like, yo, needs a jump. Beautiful scene.
Oh, good.
This movie has both dark and optimistic tones. You know, talk about examples of both. And where do you think it falls on the moral scale here? Like, is it trying to offer support to the Jerry Lundegaards and the Steve Buscemi's of the world? Or is
no.
it saying that, you know... No, the Marges of the world are going to inherit the earth.
I think Marge is, like I said, she's the winner, right?
Yeah.
But I think that the Coen brothers, like, when they make their villains, they make them comical. So in a way, you're sort of, like, almost mocking these types of people.
Right,
Right. If that makes sense. And so they always make their criminals like a little stupid.
Yeah.
And
I love when they first show up. I love the initial like kidnapping where it's just done so like, oh, I'm just here watching TV. And, there's a guy with a mask coming to my window. Could be. No, he's breaking my window. Okay, right. Yeah. All
okay,
right.
Cool. Time to go. Yeah, for sure. Definitely some pretty dark moments, though. Obviously, the killings are all pretty dark. When he gets pulled over and like the state trooper first comes up, really stressful.
Yeah, right.
You know, they have prostitutes, which was they were like out making of light of. Yeah, that was kind of like out of nowhere.
So young too, like that's the uncomfortable part. Like these kids are clearly out of college or something like that.
Yeah, and also like everybody's just having sex in the same room right next to each other. Yeah. That was so weird to me.
True enough.
But you know, whatever floats your boat. Remind me of the question again.
Oh, but where does it fall on the scale? So is it more of an optimistic, like a lighter gray, a darker gray?
Yeah, I think by the end of this, they're just like, good things happen to good people. Right? Because we see Marge and she's so, like, they're very sweetly happy at the end. And they have that such a nice conversation. And she's clearly, like, the moral compass of the movie. Good things are happening to her.
One of the few times that they kind of seem to lean more that way. With Coen Brothers, like, I feel like they always like to be nihilistic. Like, that's their thing. Is it's just like, it's like, no, it's all, whatever. It's all what fucked up. Like,
right.
Or it's all good or what. Just more nihilistic. Like, similar to Tarantino in that way. But almost, like, they do it better sometimes, though. Because they also have a firm understanding of what their idea of evil is. And they always manage to have a character that embodies that really well. Like that blonde, like sugar in No Country for Old Men.
Right.
Like the guy in Raising Arizona. So weird.
Yeah.
That biker guy.
Yeah. Yep, I remember him.
So I always, I always find that interesting. So this is, seems to be one of their more positive takes, though.
I agree. I think it's overall more positive for sure.
Yeah. Well, with that, I think the time has come for our favorite questions.
Favorites.
So, favorite performance.
Has to go to Frances McDormand, which is Marge.
I think she won an Oscar for this one, too. So
she's so good.
Oh, shit. Awesome. And then honorable mention?
Yeah, honorable mention goes to William H. Macy as Jerry.
Yeah.
He's, like, very convincing.
Very good. Like, yeah, it's, I don't always like him as an actor, but this, like, hands down, like, great performance. Like, really, he's apparently one of those actors who really, like, pays attention to the writing and makes sure he says every word as it's written type of stuff.
Oh, okay.
I like actors like that. And especially with directors slash writers like Coen Brothers, where I think the actor playing the blonde criminal, you know, was like, when he has the line, it's like, we go to Pancake's house. We go to Pancake's house. And he's like, oh, well, they mean Pancake House. Okay, well, I'm going to say it right. So he said the line, like, it's like, we need to go to Pancake House. And they stopped him and it's like, hey, what are you doing? It's like, it's like, oh, well, I was just saying it right. Like, I thought it was a typo. It's like, no. We don't do typos. Like, it's like, what the fuck? Like, do you have any idea how many drafts this has been through? And you think it finally got to you, the actor, and like, what, we overlooked it? No. No, they're not like that. But I'm just saying, like, I get it. It's like, no, we, like, that's more, people talk like that. People make mistakes when they say shit. Like,
yeah. Faux show.
And it's way more charming, like way more, it feels like a person, like when you say shit wrong like that.
Yes.
Like doing 100%. Versus doing, like says a lot.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he did really good. Yeah, he's the guy behind Shameless and yeah, what an interesting actor.
He is interesting. I agree.
Favorite scene? That's hard. There's so many iconic scenes in here.
Yeah, I was gonna say when Steve Buscemi gets shot in the face, because that whole scene is so funny. But
am I fucking speaking English here? Drop that money. He is so done. It's like,
I get fucking, it.
All your people's fucking politeness and bullshit is getting in my way. Anyway.
Yeah. And I do love that scene. Like, I think his acting was really great there. But I think that my favorite scene is when Marge goes to the, to like get drinks with her old friend from school.
Oh, man. Oof. So awkward. Yeah.
Oh, that was like, it was so awkward and uncomfortable, but I was like so proud of her for being like, no, you sit over there.
Yes. Like, absolutely. I love that every time. Like, and she's like, again, does it so pleasantly though.
And she's so nice. Like, yes. Yeah. She's so nice, but like she has really firm set boundaries and she doesn't like, you know, move away from those, even though he's being kind of pushy and trying to be assertive.
And
So I really just like, I appreciate that they showed that scene actually so much.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's good choice. Yeah, because you're right. It's like, no,
it's cringy is what it is. Yeah. It's so cringy.
Oh, man. And she even like, he keeps like cutting her off and she just like drinks the drink. Like, yeah, her body language is like off the charts. Yeah.
Good. And then to find out later that he's like mentally unstable too, was just like a real whoa.
Yeah, they
see that happening.
Yeah. Big time, crazy. Favorite quote. Ah, this is also such a good script. How do you pick one?
Yeah, there was a lot of like multi people quotes that I loved, but I ended up picking one that's from Marge.
Oh yes,
she says, "Oh, for Pete's sake." For Pete's sake, he's fleeing the interview. He's fleeing the interview.
I do love her like realization in that moment.
The delivery like, there is so good. Like,
it's like, because you know, it's not that big of a deal, but also it's like, oh no, this, I have to do something. He's fleeing the interview. Like he's fleeing so the good. Scene? No, just the interview, but still, he's fleeing.
Yeah.
That's a great one. I actually really like her last line to the bad guy. In fact, like she really kind of just like
that little why would you mini do monologue this? Was like, so beautiful. Yeah,
why would you do that? It's such a nice day.
It's a nice day. Like, yeah. Oh, that was so good. That was definitely a runner up.
And you could see it even hits him for like, it's probably the first time he's ever thought about it. It's like, well, fuck. I mean, I. Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
Why totally. Why do I do this?
Totally.
I need to call my dad. You know? And then, okay, so would you rewatch or recommend?
Yes and yes.
So good.
So good.
So iconic. And then out of 5 stars, how many stars do you give her?
I'm going to give it 4.
Yeah.
Strong stars.
Yes.
I was going to do 4.5, but I really do feel about the same for it as I did Big Lebowski. And I looked back and I did Big Lebowski for 4. So I wanted to keep it even.
It's perfect. No, you gotta work for those 4.5s and 5s, you know, like
you do.
Season 2. We're bringing down the hammer. All right. Like
we're doing 2 and 1-star movies.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I've seen the disappointment on Casey's face when I,
Pride and Prejudice. I'll never get over it.
Yeah. I think nobody really likes my review in Letterboxd either. I think they're like, man, get the fuck out. What kind of fucking critic is this guy? Like, he's giving Pride and Prejudice.
Bro, you just don't understand.
He's giving Pride and Prejudice 2 stars. Like, all right, what did you give Little Women? 5. All right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. Whatever.
Little Women is on another level, though. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. That version specifically. I just love it so much.
Mr. Darcy's just a dick. I just can't. No.
You know, Jacob?
No.
He's misunderstood by you. You specifically.
God. No.
Yeah.
No. Awesome. Okay, so we have covered both of these movies, gotten the stars, the reviews, all this out of the way. I think it's time for what the podcast is all about.
Making those connections,
Making
baby.
Making those connections. What did you come up with?
All right.
And don't take the new one.
No. both female leads set good boundaries with their male counterparts.
Nice.
Both of the female leads are really strong-willed and determined.
Definitely.
Both movies have a lot to do with money and people and positions of power.
Yeah, right. I was trying to put my finger on that because they both are
I had a hard time, like, wording that because I'm like, well, it's not the same thing at all.
No, but it's still corporate.
Both do show that shit. Yeah.
Exactly. Both, yeah, are very, it's more white-collar crime closer to, well... Yeah, both are somewhat white-collar crime, like, especially Lundegaard. Sure. Like, the stuff he's doing is, like, I mean, the embezzling and the loaning out on cars that don't have, like, accurate serial numbers. Like, that's white-collar level stuff that you just kind of, yeah, manipulate.
Shit. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Like, yeah, that's, yeah, good. Good, good, good. Anything else?
That's what I've got.
Yeah, so, basically what you, like, basically what you were saying, both feature just competent leading ladies being good at their job, like, and it's so weird that there's not a lot of movies about that, like just being Agreed. Good at your job, like, yeah,
literally, yeah.
Marge is a competent cop, like, and I love that nobody really, like, Aaron Brockovich is definitely trying to drive home the sexism a little more.
Yeah.
What I liked about Fargo is that it's just treated more like, it's like, matter of fact, it's like, no, yeah, Marge, duh, yeah, she's the sheriff, like, yeah, make, like, duh, she's good at her job, why wouldn't she be?
And again, it's, like, just another reason to love Norm, because he's just like, yeah, go out of town and figure this out. Yeah. I'll see you when you get home. Like, yeah. You know.
Definitely.
Versus, like, motorcycle boyfriend is just like, you leave me all the time.
Love me. Yeah. And both leads are seeking justice. Like, you know.
Totally.
They both are, yeah, servers of justice in their own ways. You know, Law and Order. I would love to see if Aaron Brockovich, Marge... Marge team up, man. It would be something.
That would be.
Oh my god, I would love it. Well, real good then. Is she fucking serious?
Oh my god, can you imagine?
Is she fucking serious right now? Is she gonna talk like this the whole time?
Yeah, I can't even imagine because she was like so upset. She's like, Jerry, you don't have to get cross with me. Like, can you imagine her in front of Aaron Brockovich? Aaron being like, fuck you!
Yeah, definitely.
That would be hilarious.
There's no need to get snippy, sir. Yeah. Good. So, yeah, not as many connections, but no, just both, solid connections.
Yeah, oh, right. Absolutely.
And they were both leading actresses were nominated for Oscars for their performances.
Hell yeah.
So there you go. That's a nice connection there.
That's a nice one.
Awesome. Cool. So now I think it's time for our recommendations.
Awesome.
Am I going first?
I'm recommending a new rom-com. Mm. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's called I Want You Back.
Oh, this is with, I like these actors.
Yeah, so it's Charlie Day and Jenny Slate.
Jenny Slate is great.
I love both of them so much. He's from, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is one of the things that he's done. He's done a lot of other stuff, too, but and he's very famous for that.
I know her from Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, Parks and Recreation. I watched this movie with her, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. I think it's called, like, The Morning After or something like that, but it's about an abortion.
Oh.
And it's really fucking good, and I can't remember what it's called.
She also guest stars on a lot of podcasts and stuff. Also.
Yeah, she's very funny.
Very funny.
Anyways, I don't remember what that one is called. Oh, Obvious Child.
Okay, got it.
Not that I'm recommending that, but I Want You Back. I like it because the two leads are sort of unconventional. Charlie Day especially is not the kind of guy that you usually see leading a rom-com.
No, not at all.
And so that makes me appreciate his performance even more.
Nice.
He's very funny in it, and they're basically two people who just got dumped trying to help each other win back their exes.
Nice. Okay.
So a bunch of shenanigans like occur, it. And it's pretty fun.
Solid,
it's a fun
rom-com
movie.
Premise.
Yes. With a higher than usual rom-com score on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got an 87%.
Damn.
So it's actually like a pretty legit movie.
Yeah. Wow. Can it
you know,
even
most
be considered
rom-coms
a rom-com?
Are around.
Yeah.
Right. Most rom-coms are around 40-60%. For those of you who don't know, yeah. It's become like a mission for me to figure out which ones are the highest. And
right. And we've talked about this. Yeah. Critics, they just don't like them.
They hate rom-coms. They hate me.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Because I love them. Yeah. But yeah, so it's super fun. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called I Want You Back.
All right. Awesome. Well, I finally found a new podcast I really enjoy. Been hunting, like been looking for them. I always love finding a new podcast because it also usually means that there's so much content to just fucking dig into. Because we aren't about like just waiting week to week anymore these days. No, we want it. I want to binge. So give me all the content.
Yes.
And this is called the Prime Nostalgia Podcast. And this is hosted by a fellow named Prime. He goes by Prime, P-R-I-M-E, or P-R-I-M-E. And then you have Leon Leboy Frierson. Now, Leon Frierson here is from All That. Granted, like the later iteration of All That, but
okay.
He was on All That.
That's pretty cool.
So he's got some little nuggets of nostalgia, that, like firsthand, that he shares. And then, I don't know, I dig both of their vibe. It's a very, yeah, two guys hanging out, feeling podcast, and I love those types.
Yeah.
And they talk about all the right stuff. Nickelodeon, 90s era stuff. I loved their episode on Nutty Professor. They talked about Shrek. That was a great episode.
Love it.
Love hearing people just gush about the awesomeness that is Shrek. Why do we love Shrek so much? It's great.
It's just good, though. It's yeah. So good. I don't know, guys.
So good.
Shrek is awesome.
And Shrek 2, not bad either. Not bad either.
Yeah, it was good. It was also very good. Some people like Shrek 2 more than they like the first one.
Yep, that's what I hear. I
wouldn't
go there.
I need to, rewatch.
But I do like number 2. I do like it.
Yeah, I definitely liked it too, but I remember like the first one being better.
It just wasn't as strong.
I'm going to have to rewatch.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's Prime Nostalgia Podcast. I think it's available wherever you listen.
Prime Nostalgia Podcast.
Prime Nostalgia. Yeah, really like them. Okay, well, with those recommendations, you know, if you have recommendations of your own, maybe connections that we didn't get to, you know, send them our way. Send them to us via email.
At movieconnectionpodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram at @themovieconnection, all one word. Or you can follow us individually, me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
We got a Facebook. I mean, I do a lot of reviews on Letterboxd. If you want to check me out on that, please give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It would be most appreciated.
Very helpful.
And now I think the time has come. The moment we've all been waiting for. The movie assignments for next week.
Woohoo!
Casey, what do you got for me?
All right. I told you I was going to do two female-heavy movies this month in honor of Women's History Month.
Oh, it's Women's History Month. Love it.
It is. And so the second female-heavy movie that I'm assigning you is Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Oh, no. Not this movie.
It is super...
one of my least favorite actors and Blake Lively. What am I getting? Right? Blake Lively's in this, right?
Yeah, she's in this. You hate her?
No. I used to not like
Alexis Bledel,
yeah.
But now you know that she's actually quite good.
She's fine.
She's good.
I just don't like that one show she's in. No.
Gilmore Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fucking fantastic show.
Okay,
so
this is like a girls hanging out road movie.
It's like a coming of age, becoming a woman movie almost.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, so the movie I'm assigning you... Now, wait, you've seen Enola Holmes, right?
Yes. Oh, so good.
So
I
good,
wish
though.
I haven't,
yeah, right.
Because...
It's a good movie.
I'd love to do that.
All right, well, here, I love that we're digging a little more into 80s, 90s era stuff this season. So, here you go. Troop Beverly Hills, baby. Yeah. You are going to thank me for this one. Maybe.
We'll see. She's,
and she goes, I love, it's always like when I'm excited, she goes to the phone. It's like, all right, let me see what this looks like.
Yeah, let me look this shit up, man.
Troop Beverly Hills, starring Miss Shelley Long, which...
Okay, I like Shelley Long a lot.
We talked about her a little bit this season with a Christmas movie. Yeah. That she was totally pulling the weight on. Troop Beverly Hills, man, this... Oh, you're gonna dig this. This is from, like, the... So this is, like, 87, I think it came out, but I know it from when they put it on the Disney Channel a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's got some good stuff, some stuff that hasn't aged very well, but other things that are very progressive, like especially fucking 87, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So awesome.
Just looking at the like pictures on Google, it's making me think of Parent Trap.
Not yeah.
Like when they're at the camp.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, a little bit.
Just the vibe I'm getting just from those pictures. But
this
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to connect these two, actually. So we got Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and Troop Beverly Hills. A little two different age groups, but I think, you know, sometimes, I mean, the struggles are the same sometimes.
True. That's accurate.
This will be
ultimately
fun.
Mine is about friendship. So we'll see if yours has friends in it, there's a connection, man.
Boom. All right, everybody.
Done.
Well, join us for this. This is going to be fun. Like, I wonder, oh, man, if you listen to this episode, we got to talk. It's like, this is my episode. Really? Troop Beverly Hills and Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Interesting.
For real.
I do. Awesome. People do like Sisterhood, though.
I have, like, so many feelings about it that we'll talk about.
Aren't they making the third?
I think they're all kind of old. I don't know.
That would be a big, amazing.
Big age gap.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Now.
Guys, the pants. Fuck those pants. Get them out of my sight. I don't want to look at them. They remind me of a time when.
I mean,
on.
I guess they could do it with their own daughters now.
Oh, there you
that
go.
That could be fun. Yeah. I mean, they're not that old, obviously, yeah. But...
Still.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I really loved this movie a lot, and I loved the book.
Okay.
The book.
Oh, it's a book.
It is.
Roger.
And so that probably clouds my judgment a little bit. It'll be fun to go back to it. I haven't seen it in a minute, so.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm really excited.
We have some solid episodes going on here. A lot of fun stuff. All right. Well, tune in next week for Troop Beverly Hills and... Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. There we go. And both very long titles. Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Bye.